Welcome to episode 16 of How to Be a STEMinist. Today you'll be hearing my interview with the one and only Alicia Teagle. Now, she is a tech recruiter from SR2 right here in Bristol where I live, and I think you'll agree from listening to today's episode that she is not your typical recruiter at all. She has in fact started a massive movement in the tech industry in Bristol to create gender equality. Find recruiters and employers who actually care about gender equality and women. This is the How to Be a STEMinist podcast. I'm your host, Tiffany, a proud woman in STEM. To me, being a STEMinist means creating a wildly fulfilling career without compromising your family or social life. Because when you love your whole life, you become a living example that a career in STEM is where it's at. I'm on a mission to equip women in STEM around the world with strategies to take back control of their career progression, navigate those difficult and awkward gender equality issues, and stop balancing work with life and start enjoying it. If you want to learn all the things no one else teaches you about being a woman in STEM, you've come to the right place. Let's get stuck in. Alicia is the co-founder of SR2, one of the friendliest tech recruitment companies I've had the pleasure of meeting in the UK. She's also the founder of Women Rock, Bristol Tech Volunteers, organizer of Bristol Code Bar, and she also won Rising Star in the 2019 Business Leader Awards. She's also a self-confessed pro juggler and snacker. That's actually something I've not seen from her before. I'll have to ask her to juggle for me the next time I see her. Now, when I worked in London, I've got to admit, I met some pretty shady recruiters out there. I very much recall having several occasions where I'd be sitting at my desk in the office, someone would call through reception saying they had worked on me with a project and they're from this company. They'd get connected through to me by reception and they'd say, "Oh, I'm actually not from that company. I'm from a recruiter. I wondered if you're looking for a new job right now, or, you know, if not, can you tell me who else is in your team?" And I always had this really terrible idea of what recruiters were. They were like these shady people who tried to get into your inbox or onto your phone any way that they could. But when I moved back to Australia, I actually started to meet some really great recruiters, and now again, I'm back in the UK this time and have met the most incredible recruiters, and Alicia Teagle is definitely one of those people, and everyone from SR2 who I've met as well. Now, Alicia is not your typical recruiter. She is someone who honestly cares so deeply about women in STEM, and you'll hear that from her today. And although she is, you know, she's not a software developer, she doesn't necessarily work in tech, she is very, very passionate about recruitment in tech. And you'll hear why she is so, so passionate about gender equality, because she has had her own experiences of being a minority in the recruitment industry. Now, the things you'll hear from Alicia today is a bit more about what she does day to day, and, you know, there is a lot. You'll hear why she started the Women Rock initiative and a bit more about what that is if you've never heard of it before. Alicia also explains how it is quite hard, even in her industry in the recruitment sector, that it's quite hard to find female role models and how she goes about doing it. Then we get on to some really practical advice out there for you, which is firstly, how to identify recruiters and companies to work for that care about women. She also shares the biggest mistake she sees female candidates or female job applicants make in the job application process, and the importance of finding your tribe, if I can use that buzzword. You might be one of the only females in your company, which is very, very common for women in STEM. So, you know, she really shares about why it's important to find a community you can trust and lean on, and how to go about finding the right one. Before we dive into the interview, you'll hear me mention an online course I've created especially for women in STEM to help them apply for jobs. Now, this is the Job Seeking Blueprint. If you haven't heard of it already, I will leave a link to how to access that in the podcast show notes. But basically, it is a simple 5-stage process that is super easy to follow for any job applicant in STEM. This will take you through everything you need to know to apply for jobs stress-free, all the way from searching for the right type of job, a framework for writing your CV and cover letter and being able to tailor each one with ease and without too much time, how to nail your interviews, and even how to negotiate your salary. If you feel this would be helpful to you, but you're not entirely sure if it's right for you or not, just come and let me know. I'll leave my email address in the show notes below and you can just reach out with any questions you've got. Okay, without further ado, here is the wonderful Alicia Teagle. Hey Alicia, I've been so excited to chat to you today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I am not too shabby, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Now, I've been really excited to do this interview because I feel like every time we chat to each other, we've just got ideas flying out of our heads. We're always talking about all the stuff that's happening with regards to gender equality, gender diversity in tech, and I know you've got lots of ideas as well. In your own words, would you be able to describe what you do day to day and the stuff that you do for gender equality in tech?
Yeah, of course. I'm going to try and keep it as short and sweet as possible because when I start explaining to people, I go on a complete rampage and it takes like 10 minutes because there's quite a lot. But yeah, I am one of the three founders of SR2, Socially Responsible Recruitment. We are a 3-year-old tech recruitment company in Bristol, now 21 people, and we specialise in technology and soon to be engineering. We set up SR2 to not only try and change the face of recruitment but also give back to the community, running all the tech meetups that we do from PHP Southwest all the way through to Leaders in Tech. Myself being very much a hands-on recruiter and running business and doing everything else, so for 7 years I've specialised in tech recruitment, predominantly being software development, but do a lot of product, data science, machine learning. I mean, I pretty much pick up everything now. And I also am the founder of Women Rock, which I'm sure we'll get onto a little bit later. Also Bristol Technology Volunteers. I also run CodeBar, and CodeBar is a global initiative run in 22 different countries. I run the Bristol chapter, which is a free programming workshop that we run the second Tuesday of every month. We're virtually all online now, and it's for underrepresented people who want to get into tech. So we've got amazing coaches, and we do one-to-one support for people who are brand new to coding, just want to learn the basics, HTML, CSS, or other people who might be working on a side React project, and we love it. It's a real family, real community of people who really just want to give their time to help the underrepresented people follow their sort of dream careers. I have a life, funnily enough, as well.
I was going to say, so you've got heaps of spare time, right?
I've got so much spare time. But no, look, I love what I do. People are my passion. Recruitment is my passion. I absolutely am obsessed by technology. So it's not work to me.
That's amazing. There's so much there. You've talked a lot about your passion for gender equality in tech, but you're a recruiter. So I guess I wanted to know, why is gender equality in tech so important to you?
I think I'm a woman in tech, albeit a slightly different way being tech recruitment, and my industry is so male dominated. It's known to be the boys club, the locker room. I have my previous working for a big corporate, I was only female in the company for 9 months. And I think the reason why is when I started my career, I was quite naive to the fact, I mean, not coming from a tech background, I didn't get pushed into it at school. Yeah, I learned how to use Word and Excel, but it was never driven to me. I mean, I'm 30, so I left school, 17 years ago? Or 15 years ago? When was I leave? No, yeah. What was that? About 15 years ago, yeah, I left school. That is absolutely horrible to think about. And it was never pushed into me. Like, none of my family had a technology background or never knew much about it. And so I think when I started my career in recruitment, I never thought that women did the job because I never spoke to them. I just spoke to men. And because I was learning so much about technology, because it is huge and a big learning curve, not only recruitment and the tech industry, I just maybe was naive to think, oh, I've never spoken to a woman, so women just don't do it. And it wasn't until a couple of years down the line that I was like, well, sure, I started speaking to a couple and I was like, well, where's everyone else? Where are all the women, basically? And then that's sort of where my passion came from, that I was like, wow, there actually aren't too many women in this industry, but there are, but they're just not being represented, or they're not being represented for a role, or they're maybe really lacking confidence and they've worked in the same company for 20 years because they don't know how to go and try and find another job. What about the next generation? Where are they coming from? And it just took time for me to understand the industry myself and in my career where I was going and potentially growing and growing up, to go, right, there's a problem in the industry. What can I do to help it? As I said earlier, like, people are my passion. I want the best people to get the job, like the clients that I work with share the same values as me and really want diversity within their teams. So it's just, I'm all about representing women. I love being a woman in business, and I want my network to be women who really support women, and also men, of course, who also share sort of the same values. So I think it was just a learning curve for me to understand there are women in the industry. I just needed to start finding them. So we're getting so much better, but there's still so much work to do. But it'll always be my number one passion is diversity and inclusion across the board and not just gender.
Oh, that's amazing to hear. I've known for a very long time that you're really passionate about gender equality in tech, but I guess I never really understood the reason why you empathize so much because you've been in that situation yourself for so many years. I guess I'd never thought about the recruitment industry and how non-diverse the workforce is. And you know, as we see companies like SR2 pop up, there aren't that many of you who are so caring about gender equality in tech and in their industries and have such a great gender balance split. But I guess it's just really encouraging to see SR2 grow and that you guys actually really care about your candidates and that they go to inclusive environments.
Absolutely. I think it's about role models as well. Like, sometimes I don't know whether we'll get onto it, but struggle with the role model side of things. Like, I am the role model for everyone else within the business, not only what men and obviously my girls as well, but I'm the most senior female in the business. And I've got my leadership team and my role models are guys, and I sometimes struggle that I don't have that sort of mentorship or role model, so I have to reach out to different industries. But I'm okay with that ish. I mean, sometimes I like it, but they've got, hopefully, not to blow my own trumpet, a really good role model that my team can look up to in me. And I take that responsibility a lot, and I want them to, I want to be a role model for people, but then that's pressure on me. But onto that, I'm sure.
I know for a fact you're a very good role model to the rest of your team, and you know that is a lot of pressure to take on. Being 30, you know, you are the most senior in your team, but in the scheme of things, you're actually very young. Being the sole female role model in any situation is quite challenging, and I know a lot of people listening to this podcast will be thinking, okay, I'm very young in my organization as well, but I am actually one of the more senior females. I guess you mentioned that you kind of combat that issue by looking elsewhere for role models in other industries. How do you go about identifying role models, and do you seek them out, or do you kind of watch them from afar?
I do a bit of both. I mean, I'm super lucky that I've been in sort of the area of, I'm Bristol born and bred. I've always sort of recruited within the Southwest market. And after 7 years, you sort of, I've got a really strong network of people. Like, I do a lot of events and reach out a lot to people, and I've built my sort of LinkedIn, my Twitter network And I'm really particular about who I let into my network. I don't just sort of accept anyone. I want a really close group of people. I think trust is a big thing as well. Like, you want to be trusted, and you want people in your network who you can really rely on, and actually who will add value. And that goes both ways, from me adding value to them and them adding value to me. And I think I've just been proactive at reaching out to people, yeah, like yourself, people from different industries as well. There's Alice Stevenson, who's a tech lawyer, who I really sort of look up to. There's Charmaine, who owns a recruitment company. She's older than me, done it for a lot longer, but I spoke on her podcast, and it was just nice to speak to her and get sort of advice while speaking on a podcast, because she's been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So 100% I reach out to a lot of different people, mainly female leaders, but not necessarily in recruitment. They can literally be in tech. Like, I'm an advisor of one of my clients, and she is an unbelievable CEO. She's younger than me, but we just really appreciate each other's advice and just chatting about life sometimes. And it doesn't have to be work. It can be, we literally speak about everything. And I think it's a really powerful thing, that you've got to take it upon yourself. If you need someone to reach out to, someone will reach out to a lot of people, reach out to a network, a group, anything, they're not just going to come to you. It's very rare. But I also get recommended and introduced to a lot of people, which, again, it really helps as well. But it's about building your own personal brand and your network to be able to then get that sort of role model externally outside of your business if you need that.
That's such a good reminder that, you know, role models, especially for women in male-dominated environments, don't just come out of nowhere. You really do need to seek them out. So, you know, hopefully one day we'll have a gender-balanced field to work in, but at the moment there are definitely more males than females. So I do find, especially, you know, in my experience working in engineering, I would see my male colleagues who were at the same level as me, they would find it a lot easier to have role models and sponsors and mentors in the company. You know, people are much more likely to connect with other people who are like themselves. It's just human nature. But as a woman in engineering, and I know you've just mentioned this yourself, as a woman in recruitment, we really need to be a lot more proactive. But the thing is, those role models are out there. We just need to make the effort.
100%, and there's and not just women, there's some great role models. I've been approached by a couple of men who have actually said, I want to mentor you, and I was like, oh my god, really? And there are some great men as well in the industry that really want to support women, and I think that's, again, the people that you need to surround yourself with. But women empowerment is such a powerful thing, and women are feel comfortable in front of women speaking. Also, women want to help each other, so don't ever feel too nervous or too shy to reach out to women, because I promise you 99% of women will respond with, if they can't help, they'll point you in the right direction of someone who can. So you've just got to sort of take the bull by the horns kind of thing and just go for it. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? They say no, which I can assure you that won't happen.
Totally agree. Absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned earlier about an initiative you started called Women Rock. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So, Women Rock came from, obviously, we started SR2 3 years ago. Prior to that was at Randstag, a big corporate, and even though sort of gender and gender equality and inclusion was a real passion for mine, being in a big corporate, I didn't have a voice. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I had to work for certain companies that I didn't want to recruit for example. And when we started SR2, we spoke to Gap Squared, who do equal pay reviews, basically, through a friend. And we were like, this is such an amazing thing. What else can we do on top of working with Gap Squared, being from day one, we partnered with them. But what else can we do beyond that in terms of gender equality? And I thought, I'm going to start a blog. I've never done it before, but I'm just going to go with it. My mission is to make Bristol the most diverse city in tech in the UK by the end of 2025. So I've got an amazing ambassador group, an amazing network who really promote that. It's not my thing. Women Rock is not mine. It's for everyone. And it's all about talking to men, women, absolutely anyone about their views on gender equality, but also their own careers, their challenges, their successes, their struggles, but then also what companies are doing to attract, retain and promote underrepresented talent, so that it's one place that someone can go to and say, oh, let's have a look what company X is doing. Oh, this is a great thing. We can then go and take that away and potentially implement that in our business. Or that someone who is a career changer, I can then show them and say, right, go to this blog. There are three different stories under career changes of people who have actually done it. Have a read. And it just gives them that motivation, passion, and also think, right, I can do this. So I wanted it to be a blog and a place where someone can go to try and get any answer they want in terms of gender equality, because people share a lot of their stories on their own company blogs, which is great, but it always gets shared within the business. And I want it to be an external face of gender equality so that everyone can read it and get involved. So yeah, it's amazing. We get about 2,500 views a week at the moment. It's shared as it's been shared and spoken about our conference in Copenhagen, in San Francisco, which is bonkers. We are going to start doing events again very soon, but it's a very lighthearted, very honest, raw blog that doesn't get changed or amended. Is people's real words on their career to date, and as I said, with companies as well.
That's amazing. It has really been shared around the world. That's so cool to hear, and you've got so much engagement. I was interviewed on the blog quite some time ago, and I often still get people connecting with me on LinkedIn saying, oh, I just read your blog, I'd like to connect with you. All of those stories, I know, you know, they go back for a couple of years, is that right?
Yeah, 3 years, well, coming up about 2.5 years. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just all stories of people who work in the tech industry or have some sort of influence in the tech industry, and they're all role models that are accessible to anyone with an internet connection. So I will definitely be leaving the link to the Women Rock blog on the podcast show notes so you can go and check it out.
Amazing. One thing that I watched, it's really random. I interviewed Sienna and India. They were 15 when I interviewed them. So yeah, 2.5 years ago, just about to start university now, I think, or their A-levels. But I've got reintroduced to them. I haven't spoken to them for over a year. And Sienna, they were young winners of an innovation award, basically, and created their own kind of tech startup. But obviously, they're still in school. Interviewed them. Sienna, one of the girls that I interviewed, she's just been awarded with Ambassador of the Year in Bristol. So I've started speaking to her again, and I'm doing an event with her in a couple of weeks. Yeah, even following people's career stories and catching up with them, like where they are a couple of years down the line, it's amazing. And then resharing what they've done in 2 years is what we're going to do on the blog as well, which is amazing.
One of the questions that I really want to ask, so that I can help women who are listening to this to find good recruiters: how do women identify employers and recruiters that care about women?
I mean, in terms of recruiters, I know a couple that really share the passion. I think a lot of people do. Maybe they aren't as public as what I am. Like, I scream and shout about it. Like, I'm really passionate, but I know there are some other great recruiters that are friends or within my network that I know care about it. I think looking at their websites in terms of recruiters and seeing what else they do, whether they've got stories, blogs, look at their own personal LinkedIn and look at their recommendations that they've got. Of course, not everyone has recommendations, but doesn't say that they're not great. Look at their job adverts, how they write their job adverts, like as a recruiter. And we say that all the time in terms of in SR2, when the girls write an advert, it's completely different to men, and you can't. It's just funny to compare the two and not say that, like, Will, for example, has placed more women into tech jobs than I have. And that's not, and he really cares about it, but just his job adverts are completely differently written to how I write them as just a female writing a job advert. I think, yeah, look at recommendations, look at their websites, look at how their job specs are wrote, and in terms of recruiters, but also just speak to them, connect with them on LinkedIn, and send them a message. bear with every recruiter at the moment as well. I'm going to shout out, like, recruiters are doing an insane job at the moment. It is so many people that are applying for roles. Our average is 187 people per role at the moment. So we've already got a bad name, and we're trying to make sure that people don't get a bad name. But recruiters are having a really hard job at the moment because it is insane. So bear with recruiters at the moment. But then I think with companies is look at who else works for the business. I just went on a website randomly for an old client of ours, and I was just looking at the board, and it is literally Nick, Dave, Paul, Ben, Steve. They're all white in their 50 to 60s. And I was just looking at them randomly. And I don't know why, but I went on the website and I was just thinking, you've literally got the worst diversity problem ever. But they're a really successful business, and it's just, how are they going to, they're not going to change if they're doing really well as a business at the moment, and it's not on their agenda. Because when you get so busy and sidetracked with everything else in business, winning all these accounts worth multi-million pounds, and you just need to hire people to get them in the door to then win this other account, they're just not thinking about it. And they're not a client that I work with personally. And I think apart from the HR manager, I don't think they've actually got a female in the team of what is going to be 100. But yeah, it's so things like that, it will put women off applying for the role. So I think look at companies, look at people who work there, look at how they write their job spec, and ask people as well, especially within sort of Bristol, the Southwest. There's a lot of people that will tell you if they're a good company, bad company. It's quite a clicky place, everyone talks. So just reach out to someone, even put it on Twitter, but don't badmouth people who won't badmouth companies. They'll just say they're a great company to work for.
That's really good advice, just to actually do your background checks. I have been speaking to a lot of women recently who've obviously, you know, lost their jobs due to the pandemic that's happening now. And many are quite afraid to get in contact with recruiters, either because they're afraid of bothering them during a busy time, or they're afraid that because they've had one bad experience with one recruiter many years ago, that they're going to face the same thing again. So really doing that background check, especially asking people who you know if they've got references to recruiters, and yeah, just looking at who's on the team for companies and recruiters as well. That's such a good tip. The next question I'd love to ask you is, do you see any common mistakes that female candidates make, or is there anything you wish more female candidates did to put themselves forward for jobs?
They don't speak about what they've done enough. And we have this a lot, especially with CVs, and not to say it has to be a CV or even their LinkedIn profile. They don't shout about their successes enough on what they've done. It's very like, I've done this and I've done that, but then what other things have you done? You might have gone above and beyond and created this. You might have helped a team member with a certain thing. You might have saved the company £20,000 because you said about this project. Write everything on your CV, or speak to your recruiter about it. Write on LinkedIn about your achievements that is outside of your day-to-day role. Because I'm sure as a female, it's naturally bred into us with our, whether it be motherly instinct or anything, it is naturally bred into women to go above and beyond. And that's not a bad thing. Obviously, some companies might take advantage of that. But if you've gone above and beyond, talk about that. And I think as well is, even though going above and beyond sometimes can go too far the other way as well, and can be, and this isn't a bad thing, be quite fluffy and not very straight to the point, and can potentially make, for example, a CV, and I say CV even though I hardly ever go off a CV anymore, can be super long because they've then put absolutely everything. So you really need to get that sort of middle ground in terms of sort of CV applications, cover letters. You can say too little, but you can also say too much. And you just want to find that middle ground. So I know you've got loads of advice on CV writing and cover letters and applying for jobs. So it's definitely worth having a chat with someone. If you haven't done it for a while, the market for applying for jobs has completely changed, and there's a completely, you can just have a LinkedIn profile and companies will just look at your LinkedIn profile. If you've got a really strong GitHub, for example, they will just potentially look at that rather than giving you a technical test to do in an interview process. So if you haven't done it for a while, definitely speak to a good recruiter. You don't have to be applying for jobs. You might just be thinking about it and just getting some advice. And I can assure you, I speak to a lot of people who aren't necessarily applying for jobs, but just want some advice. And just, yeah, reach out to someone and ask, because if you just maybe assume if you haven't done it for a while, that's the way to do it, your CV can get lost in, as I said, so many applications if it is a bit all over the place, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Totally agree. And I think, sometimes searching for a new job can be such a lonely experience, especially if you don't want your colleagues to know that you're looking for a new job, or maybe you're the only one of your friends who's looking for a new job at the moment. It can be really, really lonely. And you do feel often that you have to do everything by yourself. So you'll write out your LinkedIn profile by yourself and write out your CV and cover letter by yourself with no one else to really read through it. And I think if I can overgeneralize, women are very bad at talking about their achievements more often than men because we're a bit too humble and sometimes we can't see that. And, as you mentioned before, women can often go the other way around because they're trying to overcompensate for the fact that they're being humble. So they sometimes it's written accidentally as a humble brag and it sounds even worse than it is before. So if you're unsure, if you've written a first draft, ask someone to have a look at it. As you said, recruiters are often happy to give a little bit of advice here and there. Come and speak to people like me. There's lots of other STEM coaches out there as well. I'm sure someone will be happy to help, even if it's just a friend or a partner. Go to them and ask them, does this sound okay? Do I need to write more? Am I showing off enough, not enough, whatever.
100%. And I think as well, it's about tailoring applications depending on the role. Normally, with women, they won't just apply for everything. Like, they're quite specific about the company they want to work for, they really like. And if you do want that job, so say, for example, you want to work for company X and company Y, and they're completely different companies, but you like the sound of both of them, tailor your CV and tailor your application for the role, because there can be something different in each of the companies and different about the role. So actually tailor your application, and whether that be a cover letter or you just want to add a couple of different lines in your CV depending on the role. For example, if you're a developer and an architect, one of them's an architect role, one of them's a developer, have two CVs which are focused depending on the role. So I definitely say tailor your CV as well for the role that you really want to go for.
Totally. And although that sounds like a lot of work because you're probably doing lots of applications, if you have a good system of tailoring your CV, it actually doesn't take that long at all. So if anyone is struggling with that, get in touch with me. I've got an online course that deals specifically for job hunters and it includes coaching with me as well. Okay, so on to the finish the sentence round. So I'm going to start a couple of sentences and I'd love for you to finish them. You ready?
Yeah, go for it. I'm nervous. No,
Ah. Okay, the first one is work should be.
like family.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. Okay, next one. One book that everyone should read is.
Can I say two?
Okay.
Shoe Dog by the founder of Nike, and Why I No Longer Speak to White People About Race.
Oh my goodness, they're two very different books. Can you tell us why you've chosen them?
Why I No Longer Speak to White People About Race by Rennie, because myself, I just didn't know enough about the history behind, yeah, Black culture, etc. And I just felt like it's quite a educational book, so you need to be like in the right frame of mind to read it. Like, you need to sit down and properly get into it. It's not like too much of an easy read. But it's just so informative, and she just writes so well. And it just taught me a lot after sort of the Black Lives Matter movement. It was just something that I didn't know a huge amount about. And I just think it really helped me understand a lot more about that sort of subject. Shoe Dog, because it's just an unbelievable story. Like, just the whole career journey, how much, I mean, it's the owner of Nike, Phil Knight. So it's just a brilliant business story that's different to a lot of business books, like, for example, like The 4-Hour Working Week or Rich Dad Poor Dad or Traction. It's just such a, because it's autobiography focused, it's just a great business book. Michelle Obama as well, Becoming, of course.
Oh, you slipped a third one in there.
Yeah, sorry. Of course, Michelle Obama. I'm obsessed by Michelle Obama. Like, after her Netflix, and I'm just about to start a podcast after I finish Brené Brown. It's a brilliant book and just makes you feel like warm inside.
Yeah, yeah. I read that one recently as well. And it's just, I'm just so in love with the whole Obama family now.
Yeah, me too. Love it. Love it. It was just such a nice read.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can really see how she grew into her role. I love that. You know, I think we often see with celebrities and people who are well known, we often see the end result. But she really tells the story of how she found it really difficult at the start and she really had to grow into that role. We need to definitely hear more of those stories where it's not just an overnight success. There's a lot of work behind it.
And she's just such a boss, isn't she? Like, she is the Beyonce of politics.
Yes.
Like, she is, like, just, I'm going to have to change it to That Is My Number One Book. I scratch Shoe Dog and scratch Renny. It is Michelle Obama because she is a boss lady. Love her.
That's a great quote. She's the Beyonce of politics. And I love that.
That could be the opening line of the podcast. Yeah.
Okay, next question is, the one thing I'd tell my younger self would be?
100% not worry so much about what people think. Care just far, far, far too much. And honestly, right now, I do not care about what anyone thinks.
That's great.
I am doing me. I love what I do. I am a bit weird and wonderful, but it works for me. I'm very happy in myself with what I do, that I'm pretty confident that, yeah, it doesn't, I mean, if it annoys someone, what are they really going to be really annoyed? They're going to hate me for me posting a tomato on LinkedIn. Don't follow me if you don't like the content. But that has taken a long time to get to that place, but definitely that. And then also, as I always say, don't get out a credit card 18 and you're allowed, because it's just a spiral of thinking that you've got loads of money when you actually have to pay it back.
Very good advice. Two very good pieces of advice there. Love it. And the final one is, women in STEM should all know that
they can also be Michelle Obama. They can also be Beyonce. They can be anything that they want to be.
Love it.
I think I'm going to leave it there. Otherwise, I'll go on to this and this and this and this and this. But yeah, they can be anything that they want to be. Work hard and follow your dreams.
Amazing. Love that. Now, that concludes all my questions. But I guess before we close off, is there anything that we haven't spoken about today that you would like to tell women in STEM?
I mean, I think we've covered a lot. I think a couple of things is, and I spoke to a young lady called Lauren yesterday, and she did a chemistry degree and she's actually going into law in September. And she was speaking about groups, and I know we said about it, is find a group that is going to support you and shares the same values, the same passion. You can be, and I don't want to say unfortunately, but you could be the only woman in a company, in a team, if they're small. And you might love the company, love your work, but that's just the only thing that you're lacking. And the company might be trying their best to hire more women or hire more diverse people. If they're not trying, then get out. But if they are trying, just bear with them. Like, it's a issue that a lot of companies have got, but most of them do realize it's an issue and they're trying their hardest. So if you're lacking that sort of female relationship, and then you're going to have to go externally. I know we said there's so many amazing groups. LinkedIn is an unbelievable place to connect with people, and you can build real genuine friendships and friends from people that are within your industry and profession. So 100% just try and get confident enough to reach out to people, because it's a very safe group. It's not like Mean Girls, bitchy, burn books. That is not what our industry is like. Okay, yeah, there's some not great people, but that's the same everywhere. But just try and be as confident as you can just to reach out. I mean, and I said it a minute ago, what is the worst that's going to happen?
If you can't find a community that you like, there's lots of female in tech and female in STEM communities. I've got my Facebook group called Wonder Women in STEM. There's lots of other groups as well. I think it's really about finding one that you click with. But if you can't find one that you click with, why not start your own?
Amen.
You know, you've done it with Women Rock. I also started meeting up with other women in Bristol when I first moved here as well. And I just started that group myself. So, you know, start it yourself if you can't find anything. If you're nervous about it, come and speak to me or Alicia. We're here to help you with that. We've done it all before. So yeah, that's brilliant advice. So before we close off, what is the best way to get in contact with you?
Pigeon? No, I'm joking. Carrier pigeon. No, LinkedIn.
Is that like a cool new app I haven't heard of?
Yeah, it's a new app called Pigeon. There probably is an app called Pigeon. No, I'm at home at the moment. I am back in the office. I love meeting people. Now we can meet for a socially distanced coffee. I am literally chomping at the bit to go out and meet people again, sort of face-to-face rather than Zoom. So face-to-face, LinkedIn, email, mobile, Twitter, Instagram, whichever platform you choose, I'm on there. There's only six facts for you. There's only six Alicia Teagles in the world, and I'm the only Alicia Teagle in the UK, so you can't really go wrong.
Wow, that's a great fact.
It's a great fact, isn't it? So, yeah, you'll find me. If you want to find me, you'll find me, but I'm sure the links and stuff will be in the podcast.
Yeah, so I'll link to your LinkedIn profile, which has all your other contact details in your profile as well. Thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
If you're not super inspired and jumping out of your pants after hearing Alicia speak about all the stuff she does for women in tech, I'm not sure what will inspire you. Now, there are a couple of key things I wanted to highlight from that interview. Firstly, I totally agree. Recruiters are having the toughest time right now. There are so many job applicants out there because I know, unfortunately, lots of people have lost their jobs during COVID-19, and recruiters are just inundated and they are trying their best to place as many people as possible. So if they are taking a little longer to get back to you, do have that empathy for them, because you've heard it straight from Alicia's mouth herself. The second thing is, I can see from all aspects of Alicia's life that when she couldn't find something, when she couldn't find a resource or a group or community or role model that she needed, she went out to create it. And I know I've definitely been guilty of going out there trying to find something, realizing there's nothing available, and then I give up. But instead, Alicia always has the strength and tenacity to actually go out and create something. So for example, she didn't see an external platform for women to share their stories, so she created the massive Women Rock initiative. She didn't see any role models coming to her, so she went out and sought them out herself. So the next time you feel like the world has failed you, there's nothing available for you out there, that is your cue for creating something that doesn't yet exist. Go ahead and connect with Alicia on LinkedIn. She's always posting up interesting and inspiring stuff that she's working on right now. And also remember, if you are currently looking for a job and you're not sure where to turn to for help, you might want to check out the Job Seeking Blueprint. So the link is in the show notes. If you're not sure whether it's right for you, come and have a chat to me. I'm very happy to point you in the right direction. If you enjoyed today's episode, remember to take a screenshot of this on your phone and tag myself and Alicia to let us know your biggest takeaway from it. I cannot wait to speak to you again next week, and until then, take care.